take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, no, I don't want 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We find here a very important passage that I think we neglect to go to at times. I think there's good reason for it. We don't like what it says. We don't like how it sounds, because the way it says and what it sounds like is that we're not really quite living as well as we think we are. It's the new year, still the new year, and I wonder if you're still right on track. You made those New Year's resolutions, those no commitments to yourself or to God. How are you doing? In Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin's a young boy, he's in kindergarten, and his best friend is a stuffed tiger named Hobbes. But as you read the comics, you don't hardly know that it's a stuffed animal, because they converse with each other and whatnot, have some great adventures. And I like his approach to the new year. He says, this year, my New Year's resolution is not to change at all. And that's his New Year's resolution, because he knows he's guaranteed to keep it. Well, I don't know what your New Year's resolutions are, but you've seen what many resolutions are. You know what most people, maybe not most, many people's resolutions are. How do you know that? Well, the reason is because it's at least used to be one you used to make, I'm sure. And that is to do something about what the doctor has told you. Need to eat more vegetables, eat less junk food, you need to get out and walk more. Isn't that why we love going to the doctor? So we can be told the same thing? Well, I'm glad you came to church, because I come to tell you the same thing. Well, not quite so much. It starts at the end of last year, and it will carry on through all of January as the increased numbers of the commercials for the weight loss products, for the exercise machines and all that. You've seen them all. And you always know it's the end of the year, because then it's every other commercial, isn't it? And you get tired of seeing that. Well, there's truth, though, that we do emphasize a lot on our bodies, don't we? We have in our mind that we have to look a certain way. I have to look just like this. And we put a lot of attention on the makeup that we, not me, but the makeup that we wear, the clothes that we wear, and it depends a lot on where we're going, how we smell, the stinky stuff that we spray on in the morning, and then the earrings and the necklaces. Boy, I just look like a real freak sometimes when I get it all dewed up. We have a lot of attention on the way we look. But sometimes we overdo that, overemphasize that. Sometimes we do more with the way we look than and the way we feel than the way that we should actually behave in our physical lives. I want you to see this morning the importance, not just the importance of our spiritual life. It's connected, and you'll see that, but the physical body. How do we treat this physical body? Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we find the philosophy of the Corinthians. Look at verse 12. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes, he's quoting them. Okay, he's quoting them. He said, they say, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. They say, all things are lawful for me. But he replies, but not everything is helpful or beneficial. What they're doing is they've taken the philosophy of that day. There's two main ones. There's many of them, but especially in the Greeks, There's the Stoics, where you neglect your body. Everything is there's no emotion. You don't seek to please your own desires. You're hungry. You don't necessarily eat, or you eat bread and water. There's the Epicureans, who believe that there is a real dichotomy between the physical body and your spirit, your soul. The physical body, it does bad things. It gets you into trouble. It doesn't feel good, or whatever. But your spirit is absolutely pure and can't be tainted by what the physical body does. So then you can have this mentality of Nike, of just do it. If it feels good, do it. It must be right. And it was okay because their spirit wasn't tainted by that corruption of the physical world. They bought into this. And so the way they were living their lives played out in such a way that they, being saved, having recognized what God had said, but infiltrated this philosophy into their lives, they're saying, it's okay for me to live this way. Or do these kinds of things. And Paul now has to say, you know what, even if it is not illegal, and it's not necessarily condemned in the Old Testament, doesn't mean that I should be doing it. Let's follow along here as we do this. Starting in verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power, the mastery of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Did you catch that right there in verse 13? Our body is for the Lord. We need to grasp hold of the truth that your body was designed for God's glory. Take yourself back, all the way back to the book of Genesis, and what happened? God made a decision, let us make man in our image, our likeness. Not God-like, in the sense of being all-powerful and all-knowing, but having characteristics in a finite level similar to God. The creativity, appreciation of beauty, the understanding, reasoning. We're going to make man this way. And so he took dirt. There you go, ladies. There's a proof text. Men are dirt. He took dirt and he formed Adam, man. And he saw that what he did was good. But he knew that he wanted to make a female companion, a helper. Someone who would... There's the other proof text there. Man needs all the help he can get, see? And so he created Eve. And so there's Adam and there's Eve. And you remember the story when he saw her for the first time, he said, whoa, man! And it stuck ever since. Not quite. No. We have there that God had his hand in the creation of the physical body as well as making it a living soul. Your physical body is not your soul, but you have a soul. Distinguishes you from the rest of creation that way as well. God made you physically. And because he made you physically means that you have really an accountability to him. But not just as being created by God. I want you to do something. I want you to skip down to verse 20. Here Paul is talking about the physical body. He says, you were bought, purchased at a price, the price of Jesus Christ's blood. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God, you are God's property. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, God has purchased you. Not just your soul, but your body as well. Why do I say that? Well, we see back in verse 13 that the Lord, the body was made to honor God. And so He's created you, and He also purchased you, redeemed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we need to glorify God in our bodies, which means then we should not vandalize His property. If someone had let you borrow the lawnmower, and you take the lawnmower and you use it, and you look and you see in your yard there's a patch of rocks, large rocks. Now you know this lawnmower is not yours. Do you say, oh well, and run over the rocks? Maybe if you wanted to have crushed rocks or something. But then you return it and you've dulled the blade and maybe dinged it up and whatnot. If you hadn't killed yourself by the rocks flying, you would never do that. You would take good care of what your neighbor has given to you. So then, we need to see the same way with God. We must be careful. They were saying, well, everything's lawful for me. It's okay for me to do it. There's nothing in the Roman law that says I can't do that, or the Greek ordinances. There's nothing wrong with it legally. And, you know, when I look at the Bible, it doesn't say I can't do that. Your kids, I hope, will never come and say, well, Mom, you never said we couldn't have a bonfire in the living room. How do they know that? They have common sense. They know you, they know the damage that would cause, and they know that they would be grounded again for life. That's two life sentences. They know better. And so they don't even ask to do it. We need to be careful with what we put into our bodies, because whether it's how much we have or what we have, whether we do it to our physical body or very closely related to our mind, there's a lot of things we need to stay away from. There's some things we really need to limit in order to take care of this physical body. We are supposed to wear sunglasses when it's bright out. Why? To take care of our eyes. Those of you men that have done any welding or soldering, you put those special glasses on. We have craftsmen, but I putter in the garage, and I need all the safety features I can get when I'm out there. Even the kids, when they come out, I make them put safety stuff on because I know myself. And I'll kill somebody. Probably myself. But when I'm out there tinkering around, you know, you got the safety glasses on, or if you're going to be hauling wood around and stuff, sometimes you put gloves on to protect your hands. No big deal. You get a sliver and stuff. It just hurts. But you try to take care of yourself. You get cut and you see it got an infection. Veronica, she fell and she had a little scratch right here. I didn't think anything about it. Next morning, it was red. Said, oh, I should have cleaned it out. So she'd been putting some peroxide on there. And it looks good today. I mean, you'd never know. It looks real good. We take care of our bodies. If we don't take care of them, they're going to fall apart. And we do it for what? For us. That's the wrong reason. We need to do it for God. We need to make sure we're taking care of God's property. Along with that, we need to make sure that we are grasp God's plan for His property. It says, they say here, well, look, stomach food's for the stomach, and stomach is for the food. I don't believe, and commentaries agree with me, that that is strictly the way they use that. It became a catchphrase, a cliche. It wasn't strictly, well, God made food in my stomach. Therefore, in order to fulfill God's law, God's design, I need to fill my stomach. No, they're saying, hey, it's the kind of cliche that I use when Don makes something or buys food. It sits there on the table or in the cupboard. And I look at it and she'll say, she'll say, well, why did you eat those? I was going to use them for something else. Or look how many you ate. And so I just let her know. We didn't buy them to look at. Stomach for the food and food for the stomach. I don't believe they restricted it to their stomachs. And this is why. Because you see how he addresses it. He goes on and he says, now the body is not for sexual immorality before the Lord. This is the third time he's mentioned immorality with them. The first being in chapter 5, and again he says in chapter 6, earlier in chapter 6, now he's bringing it up again. He says, your physical body, because you are built with desires that are supposed to fall within the limits of marriage, just because you desire to do something doesn't mean that you should. In fact, embrace God's law. Well, God wouldn't give me this desire if he didn't intend for me to do that. That's the thinking of our culture, even today. I've heard the excuse. Well, God wouldn't have made marijuana if he didn't want us to smoke it. You hear that, you don't even know where to start. Because the problem, there's a theological problem there, there's a practical problem there, there's a logical problem there. I mean, does that mean because he made cliffs I should jump off them? You know, we need to realize that when the physical desires that we have, we need to use them in a way that God designed them to be. Grasp hold of God's plan for his property. Along with that, we need to realize in verses 15 on, he says in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined with a harlot is one in spirit with her? For the two shall become, the two, he says, shall be one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He says here, just in short, okay, you are Christ's body, not physical body, but spiritually speaking, you belong to Christ. And you're his property. And your life manifests who Jesus Christ is. And because of that, don't do those things that are contrary to Christ. You work for Pepsi. You don't go in there with a t-shirt that says Coca-Cola. Or show up to do your job with a t-shirt that says Coca-Cola. Why? Other than the fact you'll get canned. Get it? Alright. Other than the fact that you'll get canned is the fact you're promoting something that is contrary to the philosophy of that company. How can we, as the members of Christ's body, do those things which are contrary to Christ? It doesn't make sense. We need to make sure we're taking care of our physical bodies and our minds. We'll talk about their minds in a couple weeks, but we need to take care of ourselves in a way that honors God. Because we belong to him. Because we represent him. We need to reflect the life of Christ. Now, when I say that, does not mean we go around drinking wine and eating unleavened bread and fish. And that's our complete diet, because that's all we see Jesus eating. That doesn't make sense. But look at his life. He wanted to honor God with his life. And so the things that he said, the things that he did, the places that he went, always were to honor Christ. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether you eat or you drink, do all to the glory of God. Our bodies are the temple of Christ. We need to go back to that era where the WWJD bracelets were popular. What would Jesus do? And apply that principle to our hearts. Along with that, we come to a text here of verses 19 and 20, the whole focus of it. Verse 18, he tells them to flee sexual immorality, because every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the home, the house of the Holy Spirit. And at times, the house that you live in needs repair. The church building here needs repair. The roof on this side needs some work done next summer. We go home and you open the door and you know what you need? WD-40. It fixes everything. If you have a can of WD-40, pair of pliers and duct tape, there's nothing that you can't fix. I think it even fixes broken hearts, technically, but you hear that, you know it needs what? Repair. And so what do? You wait for a month or two till you finally decide it's driving you nuts, and then you repair it finally. We want to take care of our homes. It does good for us. Not only that, we know that if time comes for selling, it's good for resale. Well, we want to make sure that our neighbors aren't despising us because we just won't keep up our homes. We want to do well with our homes. Our body is a house, and sometimes it needs improvement. Some things take time to improve. We've just been in the house about a year and a half now, and having been in there is, you know, we see things that we would like to do, and some things that need to be done. And do you know how long it's going to take to do it? A long time. It just is. It costs money, it costs time, it costs effort. And so you just take your time and do what you can as you can. And as you're doing this, you're improving your home. You know, we are our bodies are to glorify God. It is the house, our body houses the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we need to take care of our physical body. We can even look up in verse 14 where we're reminded that God will raise up our bodies, even as He raised up the body of Jesus Christ. Sure, our bodies will be transformed. We're not going to look all decayed and nasty as we've been dead for 20 years, but our bodies will be transformed. But God has an emphasis on the body. Don't overemphasize your body to neglect of your spirit. That's not the point. But we need to realize that our physical body houses the Holy Spirit. And along with that, as I mentioned before, we were purchased with the high price of Christ's blood. So why would we not take care of what is actually God's property? Now, how do I do this? I hope that at this point you recognize, look, the physical body I have is not mine to do with. That's the worldly philosophy. I can do what I want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. I can drink, I can smoke, I can sleep around, I can do drugs, I can take unnecessary risks. I can do what I want with my body because it's my body. My body isn't my body. My body belongs to Christ. Therefore, I have an obligation to take care of what is His. Am I perfect at it? No. Don't even ask my wife. I'll just confess now. I was pretty proud. I had a big salad the other day and I wasn't even told to. But, I choked it down. I need to take care of God's body because it is His. How do I do that? First thing is I need to flee sinful desires. I need to flee sinful desires. Here he says about sexual immorality, he talks about staying away from that in verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. That is his, that's the context he's addressing their, the different problems in the church, and this is one of them. And he's saying, look, get away from that. The word here, sexual immorality, if you have King James, it might say fornication here. It translates that same word as fornication or sexual immorality. It is a general word. Sexually related sins. At times it differentiates, it uses it as a general heading. Sometimes it differentiates to other perversions. It's actually the word that we get our word pornography from. Stay away from all sexual immorality. That's what he's saying here. Well, that's, I'm guessing, for most of us at least, not all of us, not necessarily the problem, but what other sinful desires do we have that we really need to flee from? What kinds of things are we doing that we know we need to change? Our doctor tells us to every time we go. Or we just know, based on God's word, wait, these things are wrong. Do we need to change them? Yes, we do. He is not giving advice. We take the doctor's word as advice because we know they're not infallible. This is God's word. It is infallible and inerrant. He says here, flee from those sinful desires that will do your body wrong. Also, along with that, we need to be wise. We need to be wise in our choices by avoiding those things that are not beneficial for me. There are some things in this life that are wrong. Some things that you just shouldn't eat. Spinach, I think, is one of them. We know that it is, you don't go up to a hemlock plant or a holly plant and start eating the berries off of it. Why? It'll kill you. Poison. There's some things that you know not to do. There's other things that are just unwise to do. They try to excuse chocolate by how good it is because the antibiotics in it. But if you ever look at the saturated fat in it, you know that when you go down to buy your 10-pound Hershey bar, have you ever seen those? There are 10-pound Hershey bars out there. They're this big. And they're huge. You literally have to use a hammer and chisel to break off of it. One of the youth rallies up in Michigan, that was the prize. Was this 10 pound or 5 pound? I don't remember how big it was. It was huge of chocolate. You know there's nothing illegal and there is nothing that is technically stated in God's word that says you cannot eat the entire chocolate bar. But you've also read the Proverbs and know there's some place for wisdom. You know that you would, one, be sick as a dog if you ate that. And secondly, you know what your doctor would say. There's some things in this world that because of overindulgence or because of the item itself, we're wise to stay away from. Is it necessarily wrong? No. But we know better, either by how much it is or what it is. We need to make sure that we are avoiding those things that are not beneficial. Sometimes it means taking courses or reading books or whatever to be able to know exactly what is good and not good for you. We've got a lot of people here that are diabetics, including me. And it's wise of us to know where we're supposed to be. Sometimes I think our doctors kind of, you know, don't want to harass us too much like they should. And so they'll say, wait a minute, you should be here, but you're way over here. How good are we at taking care of God's body? Here's another important one, vital one. Controlling, we need to make wise choices by controlling whatever might master you. I know what masters you. Coffee, right? Mine is yellow coffee. Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew. Or chips, right? That's mind. What kind of things master your body? Is it something that you do, something that you say, something that you put into your body, or something that you do outside of your body that affects your body negatively? And it controls you. You can't go a week without it. I'm not telling you to go a week without food. That's not the point here. But what kinds of things are we doing that maybe we need to change? Truth is, your body is not yours. It belongs to God. And spiritually speaking, yes, we want to present our bodies as uncorrupted to God. But practically speaking, in day-to-day life, it sure is hard to do it. Here we see Paul makes the statement, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God. And you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your body, your physical body, we need to use to glorify God. I hope that you will see this truth and that you'll be challenged by it. It wasn't fun to study because it points the finger at me more than it does you. James chapter 3 tells me that. So let's make sure that we strive hard to bring glory to God with His body. Father, I thank You so much for these truths that we really don't like to hear. It causes us to feel guilty. I pray, though, that instead of feeling guilty, we'll be inspired, motivated, challenged. Instead of feeling bad about how we are now in our habits that we do to our body, I pray that You would help us, that we would, having come before You and ask forgiveness for our wrong thoughts in the way that we treat Your body, I ask that You would help us, that we would be inspired to live for You by what we do with our physical bodies. We thank You for the physical bodies You've given to us. Whatever their condition might be, their health that we might have, we know it is by a gift from You and by Your grace that we can have this. I pray that You would help us be good stewards of what You've given to us. In Jesus' name.